with the things that's going on in our church. Well, it's time that we think about why we're here today, the Lord's Supper. I always look forward to communion. I always look forward to the Lord's Supper, but I also realize I always come with a sense of reverence, a sense of doing soul searching in myself, a sense of wanting us not to come. You know, Scripture, we'll see, it talks about us partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily and how we can do that. And so I want us to think about that. This is a time of great soul searching. I want us to challenge, and then we'll come up and we'll partake of the Lord. But I want us to think about the Lord's Supper. And the first thing I want us to do is take a look backwards. You say, what are you talking about? Look at 1 Peter. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. We're going to do just a little bit of skipping around, but I want us to think about a look backward before we take of the Lord's Supper. And Peter's, now remember, Peter's writing his books, both his books are written to the persecuted church. So it's brothers and sisters in Christ under intense persecution for their beliefs in Christ. You know what? We can't even comprehend that. Somebody might make fun of us or poke at us or call us a name, but we don't know what it is for our life. How would you like, I wonder how many of us, which we're a little low today anyway because of the Thanksgiving weekend, but how many of us would show up if we knew that it could cost us our life? That somebody could bust in the door at any time and with a machine gun or a hand grenade, how many of us would show up? Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? We're very easy to think that we're that way, but I wonder when it's on the line. These guys, their life was on the line, and Peter's writing to them to encourage them. And verse 18, and you don't have to stand because we're reading several verses, but listen to this. It says, Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, when I'm in my tongue, let's get going fast, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he says. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I want us to think back before we take of the Lord's Supper, to look backward at our life, where your life started with Christ. I want us to think about a couple things. I want to see what he redeemed us from. And if you'll look at verse 18b, it says that he redeemed us from our aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. He's saying he redeemed us. Christ's blood, he brought us back from that, just going through what you've been taught, the traditions of our father. You know what? Sin was inherited. It was passed down. You didn't have to wait for your father and your mother to bestow it on you. When you were born into sin. And I want you to know that verse 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. We were people that were governed by our lust. Sin does that. When we're looking back and thinking, what is it that he redeemed us from? You know what he redeemed us from? From sin and ourselves. That's what he redeemed us from. That's what we were in need of. We were in need of a Savior. We all here. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there's never been that point in your life where you realize that what you were missing in your life was a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son, you know what? Today could be your day. Do not take of this Lord's Supper if you do not have that relationship. This is for believers. This is for the children of God. But let me tell you, when the children of God partake of it, you better be ready also. And when we look back, we're looking at what we were redeemed from. Man, we were redeemed from sin and ourselves. Praise God. He delivers us from the bondage of sin. That's what Christ does. So we're looking back, not only what he redeems us from, but look what he redeems us with. Verse 18a. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. It wasn't this price. Silver and gold is pretty costly, isn't it? Even in our culture today, that's a pretty costly thing. But Peter, you know what he's saying? And by the way, he's talking to believers that have lost everything because of their name for their name in Christ. They have lost everything. They're persecuted. He's saying, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold. It wasn't about these precious things, but what were we redeemed by? Look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. Nothing more precious in the entire universe than the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, how is that? Because God stepped out of his heavenly glory, came to this earth in the form of a man, shed his blood that we would be saved and be made reconciled to God. I hope, listen, the gospel is this simple. Christ came to earth to die that we might live through him and be reconciled to God. That's the gospel. The gospel says there was a man from heaven that came and walked this earth sinless, that he died on a cross at Calvary, that they buried him, on the third day he arose. And he sits at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for those that have received him for as their Savior and received his forgiveness for our sins. I want you to know we were redeemed. What we were redeemed with was the precious blood of Jesus. Christ gave it all for us. He gave it all. How much do you love him? This much. This much. 2014 years ago, every time you write the date, something happened that changed the world. What did it change? There's a man called Christ gave his life on Calvary for your sin and my sin. Precious blood. He shed his blood so we could be redeemed and be reconciled to God. In fact, he said, a spotless lamb. That's what he was. He was the perfect sacrifice. All the blood of bulls and goats, it says in Hebrews, could not sacrifice or could not atone for one sin. It was just a picture of the spotless lamb that was on the way. And his name was Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be doing today, is remembering him. But we're looking back right now. We look back at what he redeemed us from, what he redeemed us with. But look at this. Why he redeemed us. Look at 20b and then 21. He said, for he indeed was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who? For you. Why he redeemed us is for you. Then go on to 21. For who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You know what he did? He saved us so that we could be and have hope in a hopeless world. You live in a hopeless world, by the way. You just turn on your TV set and watch the news sometime and see how hopeless it is. Some of the things that go on every day, it takes your breath and say, how can people do that? It's people without hope. It's people that don't have the hope in Jesus Christ. It's people that have not found their self-worth in who they are in Christ, but are trying to find their worth in what the world says. This is what makes you worth something. It's hopeless. But you know what he did? He said that he received, Peter says, you know what? He saved us from ourselves and our sin. He saved us with the blood of Christ. And why he did it was so that you could have hope and you could have a relationship with God. I want you to know something. If you're not at peace this morning, if you know you're wondering inside, it's like you're always looking for something. You're trying to find something in the world to bring you satisfaction. You've tapped into everything, but it's like, is this all life is about, my friend? Let me tell you, it's not. It's about a Savior called Jesus Christ, and if he can save me, he can save you. Because I was that seeker and that searcher, and I was looking for answers that were not there except in Jesus Christ. And I tried it all. I tried it all, and you know what? Sin is fun, but it never brings no lasting satisfaction. And I lay down at night thinking, if this is all it is, I got to the point where I ought to take a gun and blow my brains out. That's why people do it. That's why, because they don't have hope, and they're trying to find it in a world that can't give it to you. Only Jesus can give it to you. And that's what he's looking back. Peter's saying, man, these people, these church members are persecuted. This would be our brothers and sisters in Christ if it was today. And they're being persecuted, which, by the way, is happening right now. I had a newsletter in our newsletter for Touch the World this month about a Pakistani couple that was there and serving. They found out that they made this stuff junk up and said they desecrated the Quran. They beat them and they throwed them in a furnace alive. That's our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart when I seen them standing side by side. She was pregnant, by the way. It happens every day. But we're in our little bubble. We're in our little safety zone, and you know what? It happens every day, and Peter's reaching out to this group, this same bunch, that's putting it on the line and losing it all, and he's saying, man, look, here's what you're saved by. This is why you're saved, and this is for what purpose? Why he redeemed us so you could have hope. that's our look backwards. Now let's look inward. And look at, this is 1 Corinthians, and we're very familiar with this. 1 Corinthians 11, this is where we go, and it's a look inward. And it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Did you hear that? Guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And then it says, let a man examine himself. Examine an examination, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Man, there's some huge words right there. Unworthy manner, examine, judgment, weak, sick, sleep. This is a look inward, my friend. This is between you and the Lord, by the way. Let me tell you something. As your pastor, I love you. I love you. You believe that? I love you. Do not take of this supper with sin in your life. Do not. That's what it's saying. Don't you come to the Lord's house and take the communion just because you've always done it. It's not some tradition. It's not something that we're going through. This is the Lord's Supper we do in remembrance. And the Scripture says when you take of it unworthily with sin in your life, you know what you're doing? You're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. How important is that, guys? How important is that? To do an examination, a look inward. This is how we prepare for the Lord's Supper. We look inward. Don't come in a ritualistic manner. Participate with your mind and your heart. Don't come with bitterness and hatred towards another believer. Oh, we're getting somewhere now. Don't you take of this supper if you've got all in your heart against somebody. If you've not forgiven somebody for something, and you know, we know, I know how it is up here. You can have somebody's hurt your feelings years ago and you don't hold on to it till you can't let it go. Don't you take of the Lord's Supper with bitterness and hatred in your heart towards anybody. That's what he's talking about. When we do those things, we're taking it of it unworthily. Do come with lofty thoughts of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Anything less than total love for Jesus and each other, we're not unworthy to partake of. But look inward. Look backwards, we look inward. I go on. I want us to bow our head. Bow your head. Shut your eyes. Block out everything. I don't know what you're thinking. Don't know what's going on in your life. You put it aside for a minute and say, am I worthy to take of this Lord's Supper today? If you're not, if there's something in your life that you need to confess, confess it now. Ask God to forgive you. Improper motivations. Improper things that you've said, people that you have, that you hold in awe, that you have hatred against, that you cannot forgive. Right now, confess it before the Lord. Ask Him to make you worthy to take of His table. Examine yourself. I'm going to give you just a moment of silence to do that. Well, I look backward. I look inward. Look inward and I look upward. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, and that's where we'll be doing the rest of when we take to the Lord's Supper. That's where we had a recording of when Jesus and what he told us to do. But I want you to see a look upward. But listen to what it says, Matthew 26:29. You say, what are you talking about? Listen to what the word says. This is Jesus. Now I want you to understand that this, where we're at right here in Matthew 26, is the last evening that Jesus is on this earth. He's facing the cross the next day. He's pouring himself. He's taking his time with his disciples. He's trying to teach them. We know the Passover meal. We know that he's instituting in the Lord's Supper. We know that this is the first time going on. But you know what they're doing? They're arguing over who's the greatest. And we'll talk about that a little later in James Thomas's funeral today. You don't want to miss that, by the way. I pray God will let me preach what he's given me. But I want you to know there's a promise. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 26:29. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What's he saying there? What's he saying? What we do in remembrance is also of him is also a promise. A promise of what? He's coming back. He's coming back. You know what he said in John 14? He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you where I am. That's what he's saying. He's saying, a look upward is, this is what we're doing in remembrance, supersedes this time frame, by the way. We will take of this with Jesus one day in heaven. Think about that now. That's a look upward. We're doing something that's going to perpetually go on, even into eternity. Is that not awesome? I'm thinking of some perpetual things here, by the way. If you're one of God's children, you're one of them. A billion years from now, you'll be there. We'll be there with Christ. And we'll be taken to the Lord's Supper. So it's a look upward. It's an assurance of his return. It's a promise to us. Think about this as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. We look back at what he's done. We look inward to make sure we're worthy. And we look upward because one day, think about taking that cup and that bread from him in heaven one day. You see, the Lord's Supper is not only a reminder of the Lord's sacrifice for our sins, but it's a reminder of his promise to return and share his kingdom blessings with us. That's coming. The end of this present age does not signal the end of this observance. We will continue to do that. We will continue to take the Lord's Supper with Jesus forever. Think about that. We will remember his promise. We will remember his promise. He said, I will not take of this vine, fruit of the vine, anymore until I take it with you in heaven. I'm going to tell you something. That probably didn't mean a whole lot to them old boys that night, but the next night I bet it did. And he was gone. He will return, by the way. I want you to think about, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to come to know Christ this morning. I want you to be with me in heaven one of these days. Did I deserve heaven? No, I did not. I deserved hell. I deserved separation from God for eternity. But one Wednesday night, sometimes I still am amazed. One Wednesday night, because a friend invited me, which, by the way, these pews are empty because we don't invite nobody. But if somebody cared enough to invite me to the church, and here I stand as your pastor, because that night God changed my heart. That night, he came in to dwell within me. That night's what made me a new creature in Christ. If he can save me, he can save anybody. Now, I don't care what Satan might be whispering in your ear and saying, you've done this or you've done that or you've got this in your past. None of that means anything. That's what you can receive this morning. And you can take the Lord's Supper for a whole new life. Do this in remembrance of me. He said, you know why? Because he's coming back. And you're going to see, and you're going to take that cup from his hand on his judgment. And I want you to be a child of God this morning. Let's close our eyes again. Bow our heads, praying unto God, getting ready. If there's somebody here that knows that you're not a Christian, would you acknowledge that by raising your hand? Would you say, you know what? The Holy Spirit showed me that I just don't have Christ this morning. It takes a lot of guts. Well, by your testimony, we're all believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I celebrate that. Hallelujah. And also, make sure that the sin is gone. Make sure you've confessed everything that you got. If you need to tell somebody you're sorry before you partake of this supper, don't pray. Confess all your sins. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and we'll prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Father, I thank you so much. God, it means so much when we think of it. We look back at what Jesus has done for us and the precious blood of Christ that was spilled for our sins. When we look inward and we think about not coming to the table, Lord, in an unworthy manner, Lord, forgive me of any sin, even sin that I'm ignorant of, God. I want to be worthy to take of your meal, of your supper. And then we look upward because we look forward to one day being with Christ in heaven and partaking of the Lord's Supper there. And so I pray in Jesus' name, let Christ be glorified, Christ be magnified. May you be glorified through all that we do and say as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. We give you praise in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. I have deacons, y'all come forward and we'll prepare to take. testimony before we take of the Lord's Supper? Just a testimony on what God's goodness that He's done for you? Anybody? Anybody else? I can brag on the Lord for just a minute. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to His disciples and said, supper with family. God, we just came through a Thanksgiving time. We had meals together as families. And then, Lord, we come here Sunday after and partake of the Lord's Supper. What a great, great privilege it is, Lord. I'm so thankful for a look backward, a look inward, and a look upward. Thank you for what Christ has done for us. Thank you for this, my church family. I pray for each and every one right where they're at, God. I pray, God, that you'll use us. Help us to invite people to come to church. Help us to reach out in Christ's name to love them, to be what you've called us to be. Brotherly love, not the failing brotherly love. I thank you so much.